throughout 90 minutes.
Beckerman sizzles through into the net. Into the net. Beckerman has given RSL their second.
What's up? Drives in. Ricketts changes his mind.
Off the post, they're in. What a terrific goal. That's the goal of the week.
Hello, everyone. Welcome into RSL Ranks. I hope you are all doing well. I'm doing very well, recording this the day after RSL's 1-0 win over Sporting Kansas City, which was just an incredible, incredible game. We're in such good form right now. 3 wins in a row, 6 games unbeaten. We're at the top of the Western Conference. I mean, it's just such a great time to be an RSL fan. So I'm really excited about it, and I'm sure lots of you are as well. So speaking of that Sporting Kansas City win, I would like to talk about that a little bit. Now, I know in the past I've done my 3 takeaways from the match, but I feel like recently I've had a lot more than 3 points that I want to get out there from the match. So this is basically just like, it's going to turn into a match recap pretty much. I mean, sometimes there'll be more points that I'm trying to make. Sometimes there'll be less. It'll be longer or shorter. Today I have 7 things that I really, really want to highlight. So yeah, let's get right into that. The first one, I feel like this game, it sort of felt like the rivalry is back a little bit, which, I mean, that's really, really exciting. I think this is a rivalry that it had a lot of, it had a lot of juice in it, and St. Louis kind of sucked it out, it felt like, last season. But it was a real rivalry this game. It definitely felt like that. I think a lot of this is due to a lot of RSL's new players. They're fiery players. Like, you think about Brian Vera, Katranis, you think of Chicho, Ruiz, Ojeda. Players like this, these are the types of players that really spark a rivalry. And Kansas City has a few of them. You've got Johnny Russell mostly is the only one that has really been that player that you can really hate. But it was a lot of fun, and I really, really hope that this rivalry can continue. Hopefully we can play them in some high-stakes matchups. Maybe we'll meet them in the playoffs, maybe Leagues Cup. You know, you never know. So I'm really excited about this rivalry, and it was a lot of fun. Definitely the Vera moment picking up Shallowy, I know, has been memed a lot, and they have all been absolutely hilarious. I don't know what Vera's thinking in that situation or why he did that, but it was so funny, and I don't know, I just kind of had to laugh, even though it is annoying that he's suspended for the next game, but that's kind of what you get with Brian Vera. All right, now my next takeaway. Diego Luna had a great game. Really, really pleased for him. I was a little nervous because he scored against Chicago, and then he unfortunately picked up that injury, which kept him out of the Philadelphia game. And I was really excited once he scored against Chicago. Oh yeah, he can keep his momentum going, but he picks up the injury. He's back for this game though, and he didn't get a goal or an assist, but he looked lively. He looked so, so good. Some incredible passes, some nutmegs here and there. He was creating everything. I think this was probably his best game this season, which is interesting because if you think about it, I think this and the Chicago game were his best games so far. Both of them, he came off the bench. Now, I'm not saying Diego Luna should be a super sub. I think he'll probably be more effective from the start. It was just something interesting to note. Maybe there's a bit less pressure there. You know, maybe it's just like easier for him to adjust while the game's already moving at full speed. You never know. I still think though, next game we should definitely start him. And I would love to see him from the start for the next game. And Barajas did okay. It wasn't his best performance, but I still really, really like Fidel Barajas, and I hope he gets minutes. But yeah, Luna, I think I'm ready to be starting him again, and I really, really liked what I saw from him this week. All right, now here's the third takeaway. I think we're up there for best defense in the league. Our defense is absolutely incredible. We're tied for the least goals conceded out of anyone in the whole entire league, and without a good defense, like, defense wins championships. You know, you can't win without a good defense. And I mean, it's been really, really solid, especially the past couple of games. We're not letting in very many goals at all. Justin Glad is back to his old self. Brian Vera is turning into the signing that, you know, we all kind of hoped he would. And then even Brody's not making boneheaded mistakes. Katranas as well, he's tracking back. But also the goalkeepers have been really, really incredible. Zach McMath and Gavin Beavers when he's played. And it's just really, really good to see. I think also a lot of the credit for this, for all these clean sheets and the least goals conceded, needs to go to Ojeda and Anelli, because they've been immense in there, just breaking everything up. They've been so good. I'll touch on one or two of them a little bit later, but I did want to give them a little shout out here. Best defense in the league. It's fun when you're not conceding goals, that's for sure. All right, now my next takeaway is the new playing style is working for me. I'm a big fan of this new playing style. It's not something that like Pablo and coaching staff came up with. We've seen this as a trend throughout the whole world soccer. But I mean, in MLS, it really started with Columbus, where you're building with three at the back, and then you've got like two attackers on the inside plus two wingers all the way out to the touchline with one striker and two midfielders sitting deep. And it works really, really well. I'm sure eventually teams will start figuring it out. So I don't know if this is going to be a super permanent thing, but so far I love it. I think the only real issue that I've had with it, I guess two issues. Sometimes Katranas gets caught out of position. That's something that you could kind of expect when you see it set up. The other thing, though, is we're not great with playing it around at the back. Just because I just get a little nervous giving the ball away from a few certain players, but we're not quite there yet. We can be there. I think you can develop players and adjust to the system, and it can work really, really well. All right. Now, this is a takeaway that I'm rather happy about. We attacked up the left in this game. What? We don't do that. We only attack up the right. It's pretty crazy. I don't know if you guys saw on the broadcast, they showed a little graphic showing like which side RSL's attacking up, and we were way more on the left than the right, and it's been the opposite like this whole entire season. So it was kind of interesting to see. I don't know exactly what really sparked that. Maybe just Katranas adjusting a little bit better. But like, it wasn't like Barajas or Luna when he was playing were really hugging that left touchline. I don't think it was up to them. They were just kind of roaming around all over the field. So I think it's got something to do with Katranas, and he's been effective. Also, I think Kansas City did well to lock up Gomez in this game. They knew, obviously, he's a massive danger to us, and they've seen like we only attack up the right side, so they're going to force us to the left. And yeah, we didn't create a ton of joy from the left. But it was good to see that, like, it's not horrible. And I think Katranas, he's been doing really well at that left back spot. All right, now my number six takeaway is that Zach McMath's distribution is elite for a goalkeeper. Like, it's really, really been incredible. I mean, you think about since he started getting the ball at his feet, and also this sweeper keeper stuff that he's been doing. I've been waiting for a while for him to make a massive major mistake that's going to lead to a goal, and it just hasn't happened. So I think he's really been getting it spot on for when he needs to come out, or placing passes, even when he's under immense pressure. Like, Kansas City were pressing us pretty hard this game, and yeah, McMath dealt with it quite well. So I was really impressed with that, and that's just something like that's a really, really wonderful skill for a goalkeeper to have on top of his incredible shot-stopping ability. All right, now this is my final takeaway. I promise Ojeda's ball carrying needs to be talked about. I don't know if you guys remember one of our two losses this season. It was against Colorado at home, and we did not have Brian Ojeda for that game because he got a red card in the game before. And we lost that game. And I think I said it in my three takeaways for that episode. It was, man, we missed Ojeda. We really, like, it doesn't look like he's doing anything all that special. But when he gets the ball, he can just drive up the field. He just drives up. Instead of having to play it over the top or all these intricate passes, he's so good at driving the ball up the field. And he's a major factor in RSL getting into good, dangerous dangerous spots to score a goal. So I think that needs to be talked about a little bit. Obviously, Ojeda and Anelli have been incredible. Anelli especially is getting a little bit more recognition from the league and especially from the RSL fans. But really, it's Ojeda and Anelli, and that pairing has just been incredible. I couldn't be happier with that. I mean, we were all devastated when we saw Paul Ruiz go down, but the team isn't using his strengths as much as we were. So it's really, really benefited us. And now you've got to think Chicho would be the one player that we just can't lose. So knock on wood, hopefully we don't lose Chicho. But yeah, Ojeda, he's just been excellent this season, and I just felt like he deserved a little bit more recognition. All right, now to the main segment of this episode. This is usually where I put a ranking. This is, I guess you could sort of call it a ranking, but I'm doing a keeper cut. So this week, I saw this incredible graphic that MLS made for all the MLS clubs, and it's like the roster profile. So it shows a bunch of things about the players, and one of the things that was really interesting to me was you could see when their contract runs up. So I've kind of taken a list of every single player whose contract will be up at the end of the season currently, and I've decided, should we keep them, or like, should we give them a new contract or renew their contract, or should we cut them? So there are 20 players here, and yeah, these are the players whose contracts are running up at the end of the season. I'm going to be sharing a few pieces of information, like option years, if they have an option that RSL can trigger to extend their contract, as well as their salary. This is, so keep in mind with this salary, the MLSPA releases it, but when they released it, it was September 15th, 2023. So this is only their salary as of then. It may have changed. Some of these players are brand new players to the team, so we don't know their salary. But this is yearly salary for all these players. And yeah, some of them may have a new contract. Some of them may have changed. All right, so now let's start with the first player. I guess the order of which I'm doing this is just, this is just the order of how it was listed on the graphic. And the first player that I've got is Andrew Brody. Now, Andrew Brody, his contract runs up at the end of the season. He has an option year for 2025 if we wanted to keep him on the same amount of money. That amount of money is $275,000. He's 29 years old, so he should be in his prime right now. Andrew Brody, it is actually kind of like, this is one of the tougher ones for me, because I think he's not a starter in my eyes. But he's good enough to be a backup. So if we can keep him as a backup, then that's great. He's not making an outrageous amount of money. I don't want to see him starting, though. I want Bodie Hidalgo there because we're trying to develop these young players. I'd much rather see Bodie Hidalgo than Andrew Brody starting. But if, like, if he's demanding too much and he only wants to be a starter, which I don't get that from Andrew Brody. He seems like a, like, he doesn't seem like the type of guy who would be like that. But if he is, then I'm willing to let him go. All right, now the next one is Michael Chang. Chang does not have any option years, so we have to just give him an entirely new contract. Currently, as of September 15th, 2023, he was making $194,000. He's 33 years old, but actually, this might be a bit surprising and a bit of a hot take. I feel like most people would say cut because he's old. He's not going to be getting any better. He'll just decline. I think keep, but he's going to be pretty far down the pecking order. I think I really actually like Chang as an option. He's definitely not. He's not a world beater. He's not going to be one of our best players, but I like him as somebody who he'll come off the bench maybe half the time. And I think he's the best crosser on the whole team. He can take long throw-ins, which is really nice. And if you need somebody like that at the end of the game when we're not playing pretty soccer, I think Michael Chang is a great option for that. He's not making a ton of money. He's making about $100,000 less than Brody. So I think maybe even when we give him a new contract, he might be willing to take a pay cut just because he's getting older as well. All right, now for a no-brainer, Emeka Anelli. His contract does run up at the end of the season, but he has option years for 2025 and 2026. And I don't know if this is still true. I'm pretty sure it's not. But as of September 15th, 2023, he was making $67,000, which That's nothing, just so you guys know. That is absolutely nothing. He's 24 years old, 100% keep. No questions about this. I already touched on him in the first segment, but man, Emekinele, he is maybe top three favorite players for me. So I love Anelli. I think we need to keep him. He's just been having such a great season. And I mean, he would be starting over Pablo Ruiz if it were me. If it were me and Pablo Ruiz were healthy right now, he'd be playing at the 10, and we'd have Anelli and Ojeda in the dual six positions. All right, now for the fourth player, it's Eric Holt. He does have an option year for 2025, and the amount of money that he's making is $219,000. He's 27 years old, so he's not a young guy that we're trying to develop anymore. For me, this one is a cut. I don't know. I honestly have no idea where Eric Holt's skill level is at this point. I remember he wasn't great back a few years ago when he was playing a bit more, but he's just been injured too much, and like he's making $219,000, which is, I think that's just too much for somebody who's not going to be playing. So let's just get somebody else in. Like, we have Quinton now. I think we'll have enough cover. But maybe sign a few more depth pieces at center back. I don't think Eric Holt is the right direction for this club. All right, now the next player is Anderson Julio. He has option years for 2025 and 2026. He's making $820,000, which is by far the most of any player on this list. He's 27 years old. My opinion on Anderson Julio is I don't want to trigger his option years, because he would be keeping the same salary that he's already making right now. I'm willing to renew his contract, but he's going to definitely have to take a pay cut, because that $820,000 is counting against the cap significantly. So, Anderson Julio, yeah, I mean, negotiate, but cut if we have to, because I don't think we can be having him on $820,000. I think he's a good player. He is a bit one-dimensional with just like that ball over the top, and I think our playing style this year doesn't suit it as much as it used to. He also can't go 90 minutes without cramping up. So Julio is a bit of a frustrating player. He's also always offside, but I still like having players like Julio or Andres Gomez where they can just run faster than everyone else. It's actually a really, really handy skill, and if Julio can just take a fairly significant pay cut, which I mean, that would be hard. Nobody wants to do that. I think that's really the only chance, in my eyes, he stays on this team. So the next player on this list is Philip Quinton. He has option years for 2025 and 2026. We don't know his salary for RSL. I guess we do know his salary for when he was on Columbus, but he has a totally new one now that he's signed with RSL. And he is 24 years old, so he's still fairly young. I am 100% on the keep side for Phil Quinton. I obviously don't know much about him. He's only played like 20 minutes or so for RSL. But he's definitely, like, we weren't signing him just to have him for a year and then move him on. I think Quinton, he's a player that, you know, he's a good enough depth piece at center back. And we'll need him a lot this Wednesday in the Open Cup and this Saturday, where Brian Vera will be suspended for both of those games because of his red card in the Open Cup and then yellow card accumulation in MLS play. So, Phil Quinton, I think, yeah, he's definitely keep. We haven't seen enough of him. I mean, maybe if I'd seen more of him, my opinion would have changed, but for now, he's definitely keep. All right, now the next player on this list is Rubio Rubin. He's currently not even on the roster. He's on loan to Querétaro in Liga MX, but he has an option year for 2025. And when he was on the team, at least, he was making $673,000, so a significant amount. 28 years old as of now. This is a cut for me. He hasn't been doing very well on his own. He hasn't really been playing at all. So I don't think he's the direction we want to be going in. And especially if we're keeping Julio, like, we have good enough striker depth. Rubin just, he really seemed to dry up last season and the season before that. I hate to say this, but I feel like the 2021 season when he was quite good was a bit of a fluke. So I think I'm done with Rubio Rubin. I'm almost positive this is the direction the club will be going. So yeah, unfortunately, it's a cut. Like, I really like Rubio as a guy, but it's a cut. Okay, now the next one is longtime servant Marcelo Silva. He does not have any option years, so this is just the end of his contract. He is making $600,000, which is a fair amount, especially for a 35-year-old. What I think will happen, he's got that serious injury that's going to keep him out for most of the season. So my guess is he retires probably. That's my guess. He'll retire at the end of the season. Maybe he'll make his recovery and he'll be able to play a couple more times before the end of the season. But yeah, Marcelo Silva, it feels like the time is coming, and I don't see him going to another club. He's 35, so I think he'll retire. But if he doesn't want to retire and he wants to stay at the club, that's fine by me. He's definitely going to be a depth piece, and he'll definitely need to take a pay cut. But yeah, I've loved having Marcelo Silva here. He's been a great leader for us, and it's gonna be sad when he's finally done playing for us. All right, now here's another easy layup. Gavin Beavers, his contract is up, but he has option years for 2025, 26, and 27. He's only making $91,000, so really cheap. Just turned 19, so he's nice and young. Definitely want to keep developing him. I don't think he's ready for Europe yet, but you can see we're giving him minutes. We have these planned games where we're planning on him playing. So he's been doing pretty well so far this season. I'm a Gavin Beavers believer. And I think he's a pretty solid goalkeeper for us. I don't see any reason not to keep him. We'll just trigger one of his extensions, I'm sure. Okay, now the next one is Kevin Bonilla. He is out for the whole season because of an ACL injury, which is really, really sad. This is his first season as a professional. We drafted him in the Super Draft, but he does have options in 2025, 2026, and 2027. We don't know his salary because he's a brand new player to the team. But he's only 22 years old, so I think, yeah, this one's a keep for me just because we haven't seen anything from him. I don't really have anything to go off of, but there's no reason not to just trigger his extension. So I think this is a pretty easy one as well. Definitely, I would like to keep Kevin Bonilla and see what he's got. Okay, now the next one, he's our third choice goalkeeper, Tomas Gomez. He doesn't have any option years, but he's only making $85,000, which that's basically nothing. He's 30 years old, and I think keep on this one. I think he seems really content to be a third choice goalkeeper, and that's great. You want somebody who's happy to just be mentoring the younger players like Gavin Beavers, and I think he's fine at the job. I haven't really seen much of him. I've only seen him play in a few Monarchs games and maybe one game for RSL, but yeah, I think he's not making much, and this is exactly what you want for your third choice goalkeeper, so I'd be happy to keep him. Now the next player on this list, we've got Bodie Hidalgo. He doesn't have any option years, but he's only making 108,000. He's 22 years old. This one's a keep for me as well. Bodie Hidalgo is a player that I would like to develop. I think he's been pretty solid to start off the season, and I believe he should be the starting right back at this current moment in time. Obviously, Pablo loves Andrew Brody, so he's not, but he's a good option for a backup winger and a backup right back for sure. And maybe we can get some decent money out of him. Maybe he'll just be a good MLS player and we won't sell him to Europe. Who knows? But I'm happy to keep him at the club. So Bodie Hidalgo, he's keep for me. Now, after Bodie Hidalgo, we have Bertan Jakason. He was a rookie last year. We drafted him. But this is his second season with the club. He has option years for 2025 and 2026. He's only making $75,000, so basically nothing, and he's 22 years old. I personally don't really see any reason to keep him around. I mean, I wouldn't mind it if we triggered one of his extensions, but I am going to go cut on Bertan Jakason. Maybe what we could do is just sign him to a Monarchs only contract. That might work out, but I don't think he's really first team quality. I liked him a little bit last year, but not good enough that he should be really making any minutes for the first team. Now we have Haziel Orozco, who is coming back very, very soon from his loan in Ireland. But he has option years for 2025 and 2026, and he is making $85,000. He's still only 19 years old, which, I mean, that's pretty crazy. It means when he was playing, he was only like 17 or 18, when he was playing for RSL for that couple of games stretch. But he's been doing really, really well at Larne in Ireland. And yeah, my opinion on this one is definitely keep. He's a young player that I would love to develop. I really hope Pablo plays him and trusts him. He's turned into a bit more of a defensive midfielder rather than a center back. So who knows where he'll really fit into this team, because we have a lot of great defensive midfielder options. But if he can fill in at both of those spots, that would be really nice. He could be a great utility man for this RSL team. And yeah, he's definitely a keep for me. So now we've got Elijah Paul. Elijah Paul has option years for 2025 and 2026. He's only making $75,000. He's 21 years old. And my opinion on Elijah Paul is cut. He had not the best loan when he went to Larn, like Orozco did, but he wasn't quite as successful. So I think he's cut for me. I didn't love what I saw from him when he played in the last little bit, and I've noticed that he's been benched for the Monarchs the past couple games, which is a bit concerning. So I think this is a pretty easy cut for me. Just three more players left in this list, and next up is Tommy Silva. He has option years for 2025, 2026, and 2027. He's a new signing, so we don't know what his salary is. He's only 22 years old. My opinion on this is mostly just wait and see, but I'd probably lean towards keep, just because he has a lot of option years, and I'm sure he's a solid enough depth piece. He can play for the Monarchs. I haven't seen him play 1 minute, so I have no idea. But yeah, Tommy Silva, I think I'm sure he's a solid depth piece for us. I don't really have any strong opinions on him. And then next we have Delence Pierre. He has options for 2025 and 2026. He's making $73,000 and he's 23 years old. He's actually out on loan right now, so we'll see how he does on that loan. I think probably cut though. I don't see him making his way into the first team at this point. And it feels like he's been with the team for a couple of years now. So I think, yeah, it's probably time for Delence Pierre. Just, we don't really need him anymore. He hasn't made any impact on the first team at all. So my opinion on this one is cut. And then the last player on this list is Zach Farnsworth. He has option years for 2025 and 2026. He's actually making $130,000 per year, which is, it was a bit surprising to me. And he's 21 years old. I think cut on this one. This feels like the year that Zach Farnsworth could prove himself. But injuries have kind of killed him, which that's been disappointing for sure, because he was a pretty high rated prospect. But for someone who's never going to play, I don't think we should be spending $130,000 on him. So unfortunately for Zach Farnsworth, my opinion on this one is cut. All right, well, that just about wraps up the ranking, and as well, it wraps up the episode. So I hope you all enjoyed this one. It was a bit different to your normal ranking that you've seen on the channel before, but I just thought I'd try something new. Let me know if you liked it, and you can make sure to catch RSL this Wednesday versus New Mexico United, as well as on Saturday, we are playing the LA Galaxy. So make sure to catch both of those games, and I hope you guys all have a great week. Really feeling awesome after that win against Kansas City. And yeah, let's hope we can win our two games this week and progress in the Open Cup, as well as keep our great form up in MLS. Let's go RSL.